Hello, everyone, and welcome. Thank you for joining us. I am Tabitha Kinlan, and I coordinate the audio description project for the American Council of the Blind. And this is the very first ADP in Conversation community event. If all goes well, we'll come back and see you again next month. I am joined by three amazing panelists, Sitana Howery, Fern Lullum, and Rebecca Odom. And I also want to let everyone know that today's conversation is being recorded and will be rebroadcast on the ADNA Presents podcast. In case you're wondering, ADNA stands for Audio Description Network Alliance. For its 199 episodes so far, the podcast has supported the ADNA.org's position to showcase the contributions, craft, skills, and perspectives of still underrepresented entertainment industry professionals who serve the AD audience. And this very discussion today marks its 200th episode. And each of us here, I and all three panelists have been interviewed on the ADNA Presents podcast. So what better way to celebrate than getting together and continuing the conversation? And I also want to send a special thank you to Roy Samuelson, the host of the ADNA Presents podcast and audio legend, for his generous help assembling this fantastic panel today. So we can go ahead and get started. I'm going to ask the panelists to introduce themselves briefly, just who they are, a little bit about the job description, what they do, and then I have questions. I have lots of questions. So we are going to spend about 40 minutes having a conversation about what it's like working in the field of audio and audio description as someone who is blind or has low vision. And then after about 40 minutes of our chat, we will open it up to the audience and take any questions that you might have. So let's start. Sitana, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hey, Tabitha, thanks so much for having us here today. I'm Sitana Howery, and I'm a voice actor. So I sit or stand behind a mic and I read scripts that generally someone else writes. I tend not to do this writing, and they give that to me to tell their story. Or I announce things. I'm the voice of the Tampa Airport overhead, the one that tells you not to leave your luggage unattended or where the next train is, things like that. I've done lots of audio description and lots of other stuff. And I've been doing this for, oh gosh, I'm going into my 11th year.
Wow, that's great. Thank you. I always feel a little I don't know, a little shy when I'm talking to voice talent, because I start comparing my voice. I'm like, oh, I really need to work on my voice. It's kind of like going to the gym and seeing someone who's in better shape. Like, I need to make my voice sound better. Thank you, Satana, and thank you for joining us. Fern, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, hi. So I'm Fern Lullum. I always describe myself as a freelance communicator because basically what I do is just all to do with communication. So as well as audio description, I also I do lots of work on radio, so a radio broadcaster, a reporter. I also do public speaking and I deliver disability awareness training. And so in terms of my audio description narration, just like Sultana said, I am the one that is behind the microphone. I let other people do the writing. And I have been lucky enough to do that both for US companies, Canadian companies, and now most recently for companies in the UK as well. And as a blind person myself, it's just amazing to work in this field because I know how much it means from a user's point of view. And so it's just great to be involved firsthand as well, part of the production.
Great. Thank you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All the way from another country. We're very
Yes.
international. I love that. Okay. And Rebecca.
Hi. My name is Rebecca Odom, and I do quality control in this field. And my job is to either review a script and make sure that everything sounds good, like it's clear and concise, or to listen to an audio description track and review it and look for misspoken and listen for misspoken words and line stepping, things like that.
Great. Thank you. Thank you again, all, for being here. I'm really interested in learning more about this. You know, I've been at this job coordinating the audio description project for less than a year. So I am still learning. And, you know, a great thing to do is to talk to people who are professionals in the field to get all of the behind the mic action. So I'm going to start asking you questions and, you know, it's just going to be a conversation. So I'll call on people, but, you know, feel free to chime in if you have something particularly exciting to say. So you've told us a little about yourself there in the quick introductions. So now we'll slow down a little bit and give you a chance to share a bit more about what you do, maybe what a typical day is like. Maybe if you want to back up and tell us a little bit about, you know, how you got interested, how you got where you are, anything along those lines would work. Let's start in the middle. Fern, can we start with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I suppose a typical day for me is sort of, it's a lot of sort of getting ready to sort of do the work that I do. And so I know that I like to sort of plan my week out in advance so that I know exactly what I'm doing, what deadlines I have, and how to fit in all of my different commitments. Because if anyone has been a freelancer, they will know that things are just happening left, right, and center, and you're kind of having to adapt your life around that. And so in terms of the day-to-day tasks, I will usually kind of get up in the morning, see what I need to be doing that day, you know, what scripts that I'm working on, and I will usually prepare my voice. So I'll have something like a nice green apple or some water or something to just, you know, clear out my voice and make it sound as good as possible. And Tabitha, you don't need to worry too much about comparing yourself, because I always worry about what my voice sounds like, even though I am a voice actor. So it never stops. It, you know,
well, I do have to add, I'm sorry, a green apple?
Yes.
It green has apple. To be green.
If what is, nobody what does that do? Has told you that trick,
no,
I'm not sure what it is about the green ones, okay. But apparently that is a one, you know, that's a good tip to make your voice sound crisp and get out any rubbish from your throat and all of that. It just kind of makes your voice pop. And also it's really good for diction, I found, because I wasn't expecting this, but when I had started to eat green apples, I all of a sudden I could just pronounce words so much better. It just works. I don't know why it works. It's magical, but you know, I'm not going to question it. I'm just going to do it, and it's great. So then, yeah, I mean, you know, if it's not broken, don't fix it. Just don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Just do it. So I will then usually look through my scripts and just see what I'm working on that day and kind of try and just get a feel for the production so that I can fit my tone into what I'm, you know, get the right feel and the right vibe basically for what I'm going to be doing that day. And then it's into the production, you know, into my little makeshift studio. I have a home studio, and I'm really lucky enough to have a partner who is a sound engineer. So he has all of the technical equipment. He knows what he's doing. I'm not the technically minded one. Luckily, I have somebody who is. So that's really helpful. And then, you know, we do a lot of, like I say, either audio description recording or radio recording. And then, you know, that's basically the rest of my day. And then usually when I finished, I like to take my lovely, gorgeous guide dog. I've got a guide dog called Nancy, and we take her out for a nice little walk. She loves to play with balls and all that kind of stuff. So that's just a nice little end to the day. So that's kind of my average working day in a nutshell.
Okay. Wow. That sounds, there's so much more that I could ask you about. I'm past green apples. But I love thinking about, thinking about the tone and, you know, what you're going to bring to the script. Cause I know that's something I've heard a lot of people discuss is, you know, having like, you know, audio description that matches the, you know, sort of the mood of the piece. So, so it's, you know, something that you're thinking about when you're doing it. So that's
great. It's almost like getting yourself into the role, as it were, you know.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Okay. What about you, Satana?
So super cool things in my typical days often begin with breakfast with the husband and the kitty catties. Gotta have the kitty catties. And one of my favorite things during the day is sessions with clients. So via Zoom, like we are doing now, or Google Meet, or Microsoft Teams, or various other software packages and platforms, I will actually have clients in the virtual room, so to speak, who are listening to me do the recording of their scripts. And that's so much fun. It's so much fun.
Is it? You don't get like performance anxiety?
No, I love it. I love it because they know what they're looking for.
Okay.
And so when, when we talk about voice acting, you know, it is acting. It is a performance. Mm. So people will give you direction. Oh, you know, we're looking for a friendly, you know, approachable, relatable voice for our corporate video. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, one person's friendly is another person's corporate,
cloying,
right?
Sweet,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we know how to give directions that are turn left or go this way or whatever, but, you know, explaining emotions and things like that tends to be a little tricky. So I love having clients there. And also, I think that voice acting in and of itself is, it can be an isolating thing. I'm sitting in a 4x6 booth in my home studio and it's just me. So, you know, I worked from home even before the pandemic. I worked from home. So it's really great to hang out with other people. And sometimes it's just me and one other person. And sometimes it's me and, you know, seven other people. It's the one who wrote the script and the one who's producing the video. And there's an engineer on the other side recording and I'm just reading. And, you know, there's all these people with all of their viewpoints and it is really fun. So that is part of my day. Auditioning generally is part of my day. Marketing, some kind of admin. Voiceover is a hustle. And yes, I would second the green apple thing that Fern talked about. Absolutely. Love those green apples. They take care of all those mouth clicks that people get. So they're really helpful. So yeah.
I'm fascinated by this. Yeah, we have to go to the grocery store and stock up on
Tabitha?
Green
it's
apples.
It's not just me.
No, I believed you. Yeah. I mean, I have a master's degree in theater, so you know, there are plenty of little weird tricks of the trade that are floating around all sorts of.
Well, see, when you're in theater, when you're behind the mic, you're really up close and personal. Mm-hmm. And when you're in theater, you know, you're kind of on a stage and nobody hears them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I want to know the theater hacks now, though.
Oh, well,
yeah, right.
Well, we'll have to schedule another call for that. I'll have to dust off my notes. It's been a while since I did it, but yeah, it was fun. Okay, Rebecca, give us a different perspective from the quality side of things.
Yes. So a typical day for me is when I get a project, I'm usually either sent a script in the movie or TV show without the AD. And I go through the script. And like I said in my introduction, I make sure that there's no confusing description, no awkward phrasing, no character names that have been put in wrong. Like if there's a character name that's in the script, but it's supposed to be another character's name. And, or I get sent the audio description tracked, like the whole, like mixed and everything, like the movie or TV show with everything, the AD track mixed in. And I go through and I listen and I re-listen to it and I listen for the same things as I do when I am doing a script, like awkward phrasing, wrong character names. But I also, when I'm listening to an AD track, I listen for line stepping or issues with the mix. Like if the music of the show is overpowering the AD or if the AD is too loud. So that's a typical day for me.
Yeah. Well, I know these are all things that I've been introduced to since I've had this job and have heard people you know, what they love about audio description and what drives them up a wall. And I know that the sound issues of, like, you know, the music is too loud, yeah, and the audio description is too quiet, that drives, yeah, people absolutely crazy. And I know that once I watched an episode of a TV show and the audio description didn't give the name of the character, you know, until it was said, you know, by another character. So I'm like, okay. And he was just referred to her as the brunette. But then later, after she had already been identified, he again referred to her as the brunette. And I was just like, wait a minute. Yeah. Yeah. So yes, they needed you, Rebecca.
Because I would have been like, okay, you can say the name here. You don't have to keep calling her the brunette, because that gets so annoying.
Yeah.
That is so annoying to listen to, like, a character being referred to as the brunette for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's one of those things where it takes you out of the action and you're thinking more about the audio description than you are about the film. So,
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So I think we can all appreciate what you do. Great. So my next question for you, and I feel like some of you have kind of already hinted about this, but I was going to ask you, what is the most misunderstood aspect of your job? So for me, and I should say, I love my dad a lot and he is a great guy. My first job out of college was at a publishing house and I was a publicity assistant, but my dad just told everybody that I was an editor because that was just kind of like what he thought happened at publishing houses, which, you know, there are editors at publishing houses, but there are other roles as well. So I'm just wondering, you know, so if you tell people, you know, kind of your job title, what do they, how do they interpret that? And I feel like since both Fern and Sultana, you know, let us know that they don't do the writing, I feel like maybe that is a thing that they have to tell people fairly often that no, I don't do the writing. So let's see, I'm trying to think of what order I went in last time. Okay, let me start with Sultana this time.
So I negotiate. Right now with the Writers Guild of America and SAG-AFTRA on strike, this is a really important thing to think about. Whether you're union or not, regardless of your views on the union, in this industry, as a voice actor, I'm negotiating terms with clients. I think people, this was important before AI. It's really, really important now. People think about voice acting and they think, oh, freelance, it's cool. Wow, you're like your own boss and everything. And yeah, I am, which is great. But it's not like Uber or Instacart where you sign into a platform and you know what the job's going to be. And if they send you to pick somebody up, you know, most of the time you're going to pick somebody up unless the job is canceled or something like that. But the terms are consistent. Everything is kind of consistent. You know what you're doing. With voiceover, I am licensing my asset, which is my voice. And so there's usage considerations. How long are you using this performance? What are you using it for? How big is your audience? Is this going to be a paid usage, like the pre-roll ads that you see when you click on YouTube, or social media ads that are paid for to sell something? Or is this just an internal corporate thing that you're going to show to your employees for training purposes? And all of those things factor in. So it really is a negotiation. And I think that people forget that. And that is, that's a skill. It's a skill I feel like I get better at all the time. I'm constantly learning and growing in it. And it's a really important piece.
Yeah. Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah. I think you're right. Like, people hear freelance and they think, you know, wild and crazy and fun and set your own schedule and flexibility, but it's an entrepreneur. You have to have a business head about it. So great. Thank you. Rebecca, what about you? What don't people understand about your job?
Well, when I tell people what I'm doing, a lot of the time I have to explain what audio description is.
Right.
And then I explain what I do, and, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, so you just sit around and watch TV and movies all day? Like, no. No. I'm working just as hard as the writers, the narrators, the sound engineers. I go through a script or listen to an AD track and I listen to it over and over and over again. And so a one hour show could take me 2.5 hours to 3 hours.
Wow.
It's not just, I'm done in an hour. Mm-hmm. I'm very thorough. And so, no, I don't just sit around and watch TV all day.
Right. Yeah, because you do have to have that, that sort of critical part of your brain turned on, because you have to notice things that other people wouldn't notice. Most people would notice a really obvious mistake where, a character and the audio describer voice are talking at the exact same time. But you have to notice if there's just, a little overlap or if there are inconsistencies and stuff like that. So you have to be paying attention.
Yeah. And it's very, very hard to turn off my QC brain when I'm just watching TV for fun. Cause I'm like, oh, wait, I would have said that like this, or, oh, wait, the AD is not mixed properly here, and I'm like, okay, well, I can't do anything about it. It's already out in the world, so I just have to kind of turn off that part of my brain.
I know.
Or I'll drive myself crazy.
Yeah, it can be hard, because I've studied literature in a similar way, written academic papers and stuff like that, and it's just like I just analyze the heck out of everything. I can't stop.
I'm an author as well, so when I read books, I'm like, okay, no, you take that out and say it this way, and I'm like, okay, no, the book is already published. Yeah. I can't sit here and edit it.
And then it's painful. Do you get, I'm just thinking that, sometimes, when you're in school, you get assigned to read, a book or something that you don't really like, and you have to read it anyway. So do you sometimes get assigned, a script or a show or something, and that, like, in real life, you would not want anything to do with it, but it's your job, so you have to watch it like 20 times? Makes your head hurt.
Yes. But I like to think of it as, okay, I may not like this particular thing that I'm doing QC on, but someone out there will. Someone out there is going to be so excited and so happy that this show, whatever it is, finally has AD. Just like there are shows that I've waited years to have AD, and I got so, so excited that my favorite shows finally after years have AD, and that's how I like to look at it.
For the greater good. That's very noble of you.
So great.
Thank you. Okay. And Fern, what about you?
Yeah, completely second everything Rebecca was saying there about on the surface. I think every job looks so much easier on the surface than it actually is. I think we can categorize every job as like those pictures on Instagram that are like Instagram versus real life, and it's like the behind the scenes of what it's actually like. I would say that I have to give massive props to Josh, my partner, who does the technical stuff, because I think one thing that people don't understand about audio description is that for a lot of different companies or for, different networks, depending on what you're working on, all of the software and the systems that you use are completely different. And that means that you have to have really good quality kit that can deal with all of these different things. But it also means you have to be willing to learn lots of different systems to fit in with different things. And I guess it sort of seconds what Sortana was saying about you really have to be adaptable, and flexible to what people want from you. But I guess the biggest message that I want to say here is, then the most obvious thing to me is, as a blind audio transcriber, I think the biggest misconception is, if you're blind, how can you be a narrator? How can you read scripts? You know, how does that work? And so for me, there's, you know, there's various ways that people do it. Some people will use Braille, some people will be able to see a little bit, and they'll just be able to put a lot of magnification on their text. And I used to be one of those people. Nowadays, I have it read out to me. So I have, you know, a voice reader on my phone, and it'll be reading it to me, and I will be repeating it. And that's how I do it as a blind person. But what I really want to say is that the most amazing people that I've met in this industry are always willing to look beyond what might seem on the surface like a big problem and something that's just going to be impossible and not worth taking a punt on, and just say, you know, let's try this. Let's try different ways of doing this. Which one will work for you? And to see what people can do rather than focusing on what they can't do. You know, I can't really, it's very hard for me to write the scripts, although I do know that blind people can do that. But, you know, let's focus on my strengths. Let's look at what I can do, and I can do the voicing and I can read the scripts. So let's take advantage of that and make the most of it.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, thank you. Nothing to add.
It's lost words.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it does, you know, really go into, I guess, kind of the how this panel even came about is that, you know, when I started this job, people were just asking me questions and I didn't have the answers. And then I, you know, was hearing about, you know, employment, you know, because I assume it's the same in the UK, but, you know, in the US, the unemployment numbers for people with disabilities are, you know, disproportionately high. And then among that group, the people who are blind or have low vision, you know, very high numbers of un and underemployment. So, you know, I think, you know, we always go back to our favorite, one of our favorite phrases, nothing about us without us. So, you know, this is for us. So why shouldn't we be involved? So I think, yeah, it's great to highlight that, that there is a lot of ability and talent, that, you know, has nothing to do with someone's, you know, yeah. Eyesight.
Yeah, absolutely. It is definitely the same in the UK. I think it's something like 25% of blind people in the UK are employed and the rest aren't.
Yeah, I think that's roughly what it is here. Different numbers. But yeah, it's incredibly troubling. So, okay. So on going back to a slightly more positive place, this is actually a question that Roy came up with, and I love it because it's multi-layered, but there's a long intro for me here, so stay with me. And I won't ask you in this order. I'll mix up the order again. But Satana, your experience as a professional voiceover artist, and Fern, your experience as a newscaster, and you, Rebecca, with your experience as a mega fan of television shows, and, you know, it's your job. All of these experiences have led to you being hired for projects, audio description and beyond. So we are curious, what do each of you think are the important soft skills as far as working with others goes that either you've learned on the job over, you know, the course of your career, or that that you had and served you well from the very first day? So Rebecca, we'll start with you this time.
Well, the skills that I already had coming into this was my skills to edit and my love of language and also my obviously listening skills. The skills that I've developed since coming into this is, let's see.
I know, it's a hard question.
Yeah, this question stumped me when I first read it. I'm like,
Well, it is sometimes hard because sometimes, you know, I think it's good that it's hard to answer because it might, you know, you're probably where you're supposed to be, right? If something just feels like it comes naturally and just like, yeah, what else would I be doing? This is what I can do. Yeah. Then that's probably a good sign.
Well, if I have to pick like a skill that I've learned since starting this, I would have to say that it would be, and I don't really know if this is a skill exactly, but learning the best way to explain what QC is and the importance of it to clients that I'm, you know, reaching out to and saying, okay, this is what I do and this is how I do it. And so I think if that could be considered a skill, I think that's the skill that I've learned.
Okay. Yeah. So a little bit of what Satana was talking about as a freelancer, just, you know, kind of learning how to negotiate with people and also, and I think we probably all, everyone here has probably had to explain why accessibility in some way is good, whether it's audio description or something else. You know, we've all, I think, been in that position of, you know, saying, oh, well, you know, I can just do this for you. Or like, no, let's change this so I can do it myself. Or, you know, let's add this so everybody can have access to it.
Yes.
So, thank you. Let's see, I'm totally lost track of how I'm going. So Fern, let's go back to you. Let's just go backwards.
Why not? Yeah. So I would say that in doing audio description, I've definitely learned the value of flexibility because, as Sortana was saying earlier, I think it's one of those things where you kind of have to roll with the punches. And sometimes, you know, scripts will be delayed or, you know, something might change. And so I might plan out my week. I'm a big planner. I do love a calendar and, making sure everything's all in the right place. And then that might all just go to pot because I don't get sent the thing, you know, at the right time. And it is just about kind of working around that and communicating well with people and just being, you know, being open to adapt to things. You can't be too rigid, I think, in this industry. And also, I would say feedback is a really important thing. I think it's easy to become very defensive when somebody says, oh, could you say that a bit differently? Or especially because it's so personal when you're voicing, particularly, I would say it's such a personal thing to you, your voice. And so if somebody says, oh, can you change the tone on that? It's very easy to be like, oh, well, they're wrong. What do they know? But actually, it's the best way to learn, you know, and you're really going to grow and develop when you're open to hearing that feedback and thinking, because sometimes it's not always going to be what you think. You might not agree with it, but it's what the client wants, and you kind of need to be open to that and think it. And sometimes after a while you might think back on it and think, actually, they had a point there, that was right, and I couldn't see it at the time, but I can now. And the last thing I'll say is I think audio description is a real team effort. You know, we've got various people doing different roles just here today, and I just think it's really important to give credit to all the members of the team and just see that if we all support each other and work together, it creates such a lovely environment to work in. I've been so lucky to work in teams that have been so supportive, and I think that's makes such a massive difference, I think, whatever your job is, you know, if you've got good people around you.
Great. Yeah, thank you. Flexibility and teamwork, and you know, those I think that those words have come up in every job ad I've ever seen my whole life.
Tick, tick, tick.
Yeah, definitely transferable skills, as we say. Awesome. I know the feedback can be so hard. Yeah, learning to take that. I imagine sometimes, you might not even like, you know, because you know, you do your own writing, you know, as you know. So I'm sure that at times you get a script and you're just like, oh, I wouldn't have said it that way, but you kind of have to say it the way they wrote it.
Take it on the chin.
No, painful. Yeah. Well, as we say in the theater, you know, for the good of the show.
Yes.
Thank you. And Satana.
I want to just yes and everything that Fern and Rebecca already said. Yes. And I want to go back to something that Fern said in the previous question. She was talking about flexibility and adaptability. And Fern has Josh for all the technical stuff. I am a technical geek. I love the technical side. Well, I love hate the technical side. I loved the technical side more when I wasn't a voice actor, and like the technical thing was like, oh, I'm just having fun. And, you know, now I have deadlines, so I want the technical side to work. But that flexibility of having to learn multiple packages of things changing. Gosh, in the early days of my voice acting career, Skype was still a thing.
Oh.
And from one day to the next, they would update Skype, and all of a sudden the keyboard shortcuts that I had were like, this is not working. Uh-oh, how do I answer a call? How do I, you know, like goofy small things like that. So you, I think particularly as a person who's blind, you do have to be really flexible and build in time for that, and time to review a script. You know, AD scripts, for example, audio description scripts, sometimes come in an Excel spreadsheet. Sometimes they just come in a big Word document.
Yep.
You know, so like there's different ways that you get your scripts. Fern was talking about sort of that ear, brain, mouth way that she does voiceover, listening to what the phone is saying and then repeating it back with interpretation. And I'm a Braille user, so I'm the hand, brain, mouth. Normally in the voiceover, we talk about sort of that eye, brain, mouth coordination. Mm-hmm. You see it in whatever way you see it, hear it, and then your brain interprets it, and then your mouth spits it out. And that is a thing. I just wanted to go back and say that the Braille, the Braille for the Braille. For me, I love the Braille. The Braille and technology have been huge, huge things that I had before I came into this that have really been helpful. That technical troubleshooting side of me has really been helpful. Everything they said about feedback has really been helpful. And then, of course, just growing. Some of the skills I've gotten really good at, one in particular is saying no. That's an interesting one. Like saying no is actually saying yes. Like understanding what your limits are and what lines you're not willing to cross. And sort of detaching yourself from, oh, I really want this job, but it's okay if I don't get it. Either because you weren't selected as the right voice for that project, or because they selected you, but their rates are atrocious and you know what it's really going to take to get it done and you're not willing to do it. You know, for whatever reason, it's a skill to say no and be clear about what your limits are.
I mean, that's a really important point as well that I've heard a lot about is, and also in my academic research and in multiple different areas, but the value of work.
Yeah.
You know, that some populations are valued less and they are paid less and they are thought to be, you know, we're putting price tags on people, which, you know, is horrible, but, you know, if you've got a job, there's a salary, there's payment, and, you know, are you going to get paid less than someone else because of, you know, questionable reasons? Or, you know, are you getting paid less than usual because, you know, like, I don't know, it's a small nonprofit and they have a really tiny budget? Or, you know, so I imagine there are lots of different things to think about. And I imagine that sometimes it's better to walk away from a project than kind of accept a fee that doesn't recognize, you know, what value you are bringing.
Yeah, but there's also recognizing what value you're bringing. And I was born blind, so I grew up with no sight at all. And I think, you know, maybe it doesn't matter how long you've had your disability, but I do think that having grown up without that sight in a world where sighted people think that sight is the most important sense and they want you to know that too, whether they say it directly or not. I think people who are blind or low vision tend to learn that they are valued less and to believe it's internalized that we don't have as much value. We don't bring as much value. We're not capable of it, or, you know, whatever your internal self-talk is, and to recognize how that plays into what you're doing and how you're negotiating and sort of how you're relating to the project that's in front of you is really important.
Yeah, we could have a whole other discussion.
Oh, yeah.
About society and prejudice and internal bias. And there's things. Yeah. But those are all really great points and things that, you know, we can't just pretend don't exist.
Yeah.
Thank you. I love this. We're like talking about fun stuff and we get really serious. So let's go back to fun stuff. Serious stuff is important. I like serious stuff, but we'll go back and forth. More lighthearted question. So what works for you? I assume that you might listen to audio description on your time off, or I don't know, maybe you are just so tired of it that you don't. what's your favorite thing about audio description when you're listening to it? What kind of, you know, makes you happy? Start with Fern this time.
Yeah, I definitely do, because I, you know, shows without audio description are just so much harder for me to follow. And I, you know, sorry to bring it back to a more serious point, but mm-hmm. I will just say very quickly that when I was growing up, I also grew up with a visual impairment and my sight's kind of deteriorated over the years. And I never knew why I didn't enjoy films. You know, so I'd go to like sleepovers with my friends and they'd all be watching a movie and I'd be sitting there playing with the cat thinking, this is so boring. Like, why are we doing this? This is hours long. I don't know. And I genuinely thought there must be something wrong with me because everyone else here is enjoying this and I'm not. And it was only when I discovered audio description that I realized that actually it wasn't me at all, because I'd just been missing out on the majority, you know, like so much. You don't realize how much you're missing until you hear it, basically. And it was a huge moment for me where I just kind of realized, oh, this isn't me. It's actually just this wasn't accessible to me. So yeah, I love audio description. It means so much to me. And I think you can say a lot in a very little amount of words. So I think sometimes with that, you know, with what I've just been saying about sometimes you don't know what's going on and being able to follow something, I think sometimes literally it can be like a one word thing or just a couple of words that completely explains the whole situation. You're, oh, okay, that's it. So I think, you know, sometimes we're just a well-placed word or phrase that can really just clear everything up for you. If someone's talking about something and you can't see what the thing is that they're talking about, if they just say that, then you're like, oh, okay, great. And I'm with everyone else again. I know what I'm doing. And then I think the other thing is, I know there's different opinions about this, but I quite like a fun sort of quirky delivery, depending on obviously what you're watching, but I watch a lot of sort of comedy shows and things like that. And I quite like where there's a bit of tongue in cheek, sort of like, oh my God, what are they doing? So, you know, like almost like you're watching with a friend, because it feels less like audio description and more like you're just watching a fun thing, and it kind of matches the tone of the show. And it's just really enjoyable. And also, of course, I've got to say humans rather than robots all the time.
Yes.
Great. Satana, do you want to go next?
Okay. I was thinking Rebecca was going to talk all about stuff and
you know,
okay. Yes.
I'm going to let Rebecca have the last word before we open okay. for audience questions.
Well, let me leave some cool things, because I can imagine some great things that she's going to say. I like space. I Fern is absolutely right. Sometimes it doesn't take a lot of words, you know, writing that doesn't patronize. Please stop telling me that the character hung up the phone when the sound design that the sound designers in the show created, the Foley, it's really clear that they've just slammed down the phone. I don't need somebody explaining it. Attribution. I want to know who wrote it, who voiced it, who produced it. If there's time to tell me, you're listening to the SAP channel, and if you want to return to regular programming, then you should turn it off. Then there is time to tell me who is responsible for the description. There's that. And then I really, like Fern, I want someone who's in the story. So casting that makes sense. There's this show that I just can't watch because the person reading it also wrote it, which should never really happen without Rebecca in between doing some quality control. And this person's sort of this older gentleman, and the two protagonists in the show are like a teenage girl and her mother. And I'm just like, you do not belong here, dude.
Wow.
I'm here, please stop talking.
Yeah. That sounds painful.
Really great casting, I think, is important. And it is, like Fern said earlier, it is a team effort. And we don't have enough Rebeccas to do the work that she's doing. So there you go.
Thank you. Okay, Rebecca, no pressure.
Well, I agree 100% with everything that both of you guys said. And I would just like to add to the casting side of things. I know I have watched, for example, animated TV shows. Sometimes there will be the guy with the deep voice when the main character is female or it's like a kid's show. And it just, it takes you out of the show. Like, you're watching it and all of a sudden you hear this really deep voice and you're like, wait, that doesn't belong here. And also, I do agree with the whole, you know, I can hear when a phone is being hung up, or I can hear when a door shuts, or, you know, I don't need to be told that. And what I was commenting on earlier was the human narrators, no robots. No robots. As a screen reader user, I have to listen to a robot read my emails and my text messages, and I don't want to listen to a robot narrating a movie that I'm watching. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I think pretty much everybody I've talked to has agreed. I know that it's funny, there was one clip that that I got sent, and somebody was asking, you know, is this a human or a robot? And I was like, you know, I can't honestly tell if it is a good robot or a bad human. I kind of feel like it's a bad human. They're just trying to, like, you know, pave the way to robots by making us not like the humans. Very, very strange. But I think, you know, that's one reason that, you know, attribution is so important. You know, like, you know, people have favorite actors and favorite directors, and, you know, so why can't we have favorite audio description writers and favorite narrators, you know, that we also, you know, can check, especially, you know, if we're doing purchasing a video or, you know, a movie or something, we don't want to put down the money and then, oh no, I can't stand this person's voice, you know, whereas, you know, up front, you're like, okay, yeah, this is going to be good. So, a little consumer awareness there, not a bad thing. So I have a couple more questions in my back pocket, but, I know we have about 13 minutes left. So do we have any questions from our audience? Does anyone want to ask a quality control person or a voice talent their audio description related question? Do we have any hands?
This is really very interesting, but I thought audio description was done for people who are blind by a sighted person because you can't see what's happening. I don't quite understand how a blind person fits in doing the audio description.
Well, I'm going to let one of our panelists handle that. Anyone want to volunteer?
Yeah, I'm happy to. So I think that is a big kind of misconception that audio description is done for sighted people, for blind people by sighted people. And I think, you know, it's a great new step that people are starting to see that actually blind people don't just have to be the end user of something, that they can actually be part of creating it as well. And so for me, you know, obviously I do the narration side of it, and I've kind of explained a little bit about how that works for me. And I do know that there are blind people who write the actual scripts as well. And sometimes they'll work with other people, and there's various different ways of doing that. But I think it's just about changing that that sort of idea that blind people can only ever sort of benefit from the work that sighted people have done to provide this audio description instead of actually being an active part in creating it.
Yeah, this is Satana, if I can piggyback on this. Mm-hmm. I think that this is what most sighted people think as well. Well, this is a service for the blind. So, of course, it's being done by sighted people. And I think as people who are blind, sometimes because the world is so majority sighted, again, we believe what sighted people say rather than questioning and considering, okay, how might we get this done? And so it's great to see that things are slowly changing. But yeah, I mean, there are blind editors and there are blind sound engineers and there are blind voice talent and blind writers, and all of this is doable. And remember that if you're writing it as a person who is blind, you're deciding on the final language. And even if you can't see what's going on, if you're working with someone who's looking at the screen and giving you information, you as the blind writer are still deciding what those most important elements are and how to articulate them in a concise, clear way that makes sense and that really aligns with the story. So, I mean, all of it can be done by people who are blind. It's just a matter of convincing the majority sighted population that that's possible. And I mean, it's majority sighted people who are running these companies, who are signing these contracts, who are putting this stuff together. So, but it's definitely all doable by people who are blind.
Thank you. And I had a little sort of informal practice doing this. The ACB twice a year does an audio description institute, which is a week-long 20 hours of training on how to do audio description. And I'd been, you know, in this role for barely a month and a half when Joel Snyder, the founder and senior consultant for the ADP, was running one, and he invited me to participate, help me learn about audio description. And so, you know, I'm partially sighted, and I was just, you know, treated like an ordinary student. And we had group activities where we were provided clips, and we had to, create the audio description. And, you know, so I was relying on my other group members to tell me what was happening on the screen. And then, yeah, as Satana said, you know, sort of together, you know, we were kind of deciding what information do you need to know when, what's crucial, what isn't, you know, perhaps necessary. And then it was funny because at one point, sort of later on in the script, they referred to something that had happened earlier. And I said, wait a minute. You did not tell me at that moment that thing had happened. And there was like, oh, yeah, because they were just taking for granted what their eyes had told them, and they weren't even consciously like putting it all into the audio description script. So it was that, you know, I think our script was, that much stronger because they had me there, you know, asking questions as we went. And then, you know, I also had fun working with them on the language, on the writing, because I do have a writing background, and, you know, I turned into a human thesaurus, and we're trying to decide, you know, is this person walking or tiptoeing or sprinting or running or crouching or strolling, or, you know, just what kind of one word can we use to describe the way that they're, you know, moving from one position to another. So yeah. And then obviously we've got Fern and Sultana and Rebecca to show us, you know, professional involvement at every stage. So great. Thank you. But excellent question. Thank you for giving us a chance to clarify that. Okay, any other hands?
Kim is up next.
Hello. I just wanted to say thank you to all the people involved in this. I was born blind, not totally, but I used to be able to see a lot more of what was going on the screen. And one of my favorite shows is Big Bang Theory. And I finally found a cable channel that does have audio script for that. And I wasn't getting a lot of it. And one of my sisters told me, well, Kim, with that show, it's hard because a lot of the humor is the looks that the characters give each other. You know, like the look that says, really? Seriously? Or you dummy? Or, you know, and so I like it when audio description says that somebody is scowling at somebody or somebody, you know, because when half of the humor comes from the totally visual things that don't have audio to back it up, then you need to know what the character's doing. And I'm really glad to hear that blind people have a part and that they have people who will tell them what's going on the screen. Obviously at some point, if you're total, you need that. But then you can take your experience and what would I want to know watching this? And another just encouraging thing I would say is, yeah, when you're watching TV for fun, turn off your internal editor. Tell them to go to sleep, you know. But thank you for what you do.
Thank you very much for that, and I think that's a great note for us to end on, because I too would like to thank Fern and Rebecca and Satana for everything that they do and for being here today to tell us about what they do. So I just wanted to let everyone know that if you have never heard of the Audio Description Project before, it is something that ACB does. You can find out more on our website, adp.acb.org. And if you are really super into audio description, you will be looking forward to the Audio Description Awards Gala that we will be airing on November 14th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, in which we recognize outstanding achievements in audio description by media companies. And we have a combination of presenters, some who are sighted and some who are blind or have low vision. And, you know, everyone is involved in media and creation of amazing content in some way. So I guess that's it. Let's see, I think we have 2 minutes. Any final thoughts from any of our panelists?
Just thank you so much for having us. It's been an amazing, you know, time to be able to talk about this stuff. I just think audio description is such a wonderful example of inclusion in such a beautiful way that disabled and non-disabled people can work together. And that means a lot to me.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way of putting it. Thank you.
Agreed. Thanks for having us for the inaugural panel.
Yes.
This was awesome.
Well, good. I had so much fun. I am glad that you guys, came along and had fun too. Hopefully, we were popular enough and we can come back and talk to some more people, because believe it or not, there are more than three people working in audio description. So I want to talk to as many people as we can to hear the different voices and experiences and keep learning about how audio description is made. And what a great difference it makes in people's lives professionally and personally. So I will go ahead and officially close. Thank you so much, everyone. And as I'm part of the Advocacy and Governmental Affairs Department in ACB, so while I'm not technically contractually obligated to say it, I feel like I should take the opportunity to say, keep advocating.